Guys, I told you at the start of the year, I wanted to lose a bit of weight and feel better about myself. I've done it thanks to XL one-to-one training at Dariaki. It's a 7,000 square feet gym. It's got free parking, a multi-function room, free weights area, boxing area, all that for just £20 a month. Also, no joiner fee, no direct debit, no contract. What are you waiting for? Find them on Facebook at XL one-to-one training and tell them the Bimo podcast sent you. Bonjour, the beautiful people of Belfast and everyone around the world who listens. Welcome to another fantastic episode of the Bimo podcast with me, Anthony.
And me, Jer.
What is happening to you?
Not a lot, mate. Here, we had a good wee trip up the Derry during the week. Legendary.
Up the Legendary. Got to see the city, got to see the walls.
Hello, cheers, Colin.
Got
that. Philly, you can tell her if she doesn't listen.
I owe Philly a bottle of wine.
Huh?
Beat me a Mario Kart.
It was good.
I'm the king of Mario Kart and I got beat twice by Dale and Philly and I wasn't happy.
And when I played him, the controller was a wee bit faulty.
So we're just going to put it down to a faulty controller. But
what was that, the one you used whenever you were going on against the Dale and Philly, was it?
Correct.
See? Bad controller.
Was a bad controller. I agreed with you after beating you several times.
Twice. Paddy destroyed me in FIFA though.
Did he?
Well, I say destroyed, he beat me like 2-1 or something.
No, he came back from 2-0 down to beat the 3-2 as well.
Yeah, it's, I mean, though, I just could not get it against him, I don't know.
But he had a strategic plan. He let you run your players out.
Is that what he was doing?
Did you not notice?
I just got to play him online tonight, I think.
I remember watching, because I don't play FIFA, but I always go by stats, right? And seeing you about 70 minutes in, all your players were down yellow and red. So they were all fatigued.
Because his hadn't moved.
Correct. Because you were just running and shooting.
I'll remember later on.
There you go.
Maybe
Paddy.
Have to censor that part so he doesn't hear the...
Jig's up.
The jig is up, Paddy. So, any new stranger startling?
New stranger startling? No. All my staff's leaving.
Here, you can just tell them not to go.
Just refuse their...
just refuse to let them go, yeah.
I did not accept your letter of resignation.
Well, Kepa didn't accept being substituted.
I can't with that. What about that?
Well,
so anyone doesn't know, cup final yesterday goes to extra time. There's what, about 5 minutes left?
That's right. Well, he was down injured for 2 minutes of it or something, so.
But they were going to bring on the replacement goalkeeper, and apparently the replacement goalkeeper's good at penalties.
Right.
So it's a strategic
change. So
it's
a smart tactical decision.
Yeah. So Sarri gets his wee saying, goes over to the fourth official, right, number one for number whatever, and the player gets up and says, "Name it."
Well,
can you imagine?
What does he get paid a week?
Tens, if not hundreds of thousands.
He's the most expensive goalkeeper in the world, though.
No, was that not Alisson?
No, it's what? Kepa.
Was it?
Let me just double check.
Well then, there you go. If he's the most expensive goalkeeper in the world, you want him playing every single minute to get your value out of him.
I mean, I don't care. The manager is the manager. You listen to what he says. And
well, this is true.
And the people that are beside him should be... I think Kepa, the most world's most expensive keeper.
80
million
euro.
Like, you can see why he thinks he should be there, but at the same time, the manager says you're coming off either due to injury or due to somebody being a better penalty stopper. You come off, you don't cost your team a win, which in the end he did. You could have seen, there was one of the penalties you should have saved. I know he saved one, but
I half agree with him, and I'll tell you why.
And then I'll tell you why not.
Right, okay. The players in that Chelsea team don't like the manager. They don't want to play for him.
Right.
Right. But you have a player who's arguing to stay on the pitch because he wants to give you 100%. He wants to give you everything. He wants to win the trophy. He wants to be the hero. He wants to be on the pitch in a team where,
so
hold on.
Team game. Right, okay.
Cristiano Ronaldo's selfish and he's one of the best players in the world, but he's doing the complete opposite to what most of that team are doing. So to me, I understand your point, and if somebody done it to me,
you are a manager. I would hear you are a manager.
Yeah.
So if your team tell you something that if you ask them to do something, they go no.
I say to him, this is a one-man dictatorship. I was not voted into power. It's not a democracy. But if you're the manager in that situation, you have two options, right? One, do what he done, which is go buck daft.
Did you watch the Paddy Power thing I tagged in earlier?
What one was it?
You know the reactions, the fan reactions?
The fan denial, haven't seen it yet.
Brilliant.
It's a highlight of my Monday. But the second option he has, right, he's not allowed to do it because he's not allowed to enter the field of play. But I would have ran on there.
Dragged them off.
I'd have took the fine and I'd have grabbed them by something and dragged them off.
Well,
you know what? I'd have ran up and slide tackled him to make sure he was injured, to make sure he had to come off.
Well, he wasn't the captain. The captain should have stepped up and told him, get off the pitch.
Very true.
I mean,
David Luiz tried that. Did you see him? He walked up and he must have thought that they were going to share tactics because he put his hand over his mouth so that no one could have seen or hear when he was saying, aka, would you get off the fucking pitch, please? Like, why are you covering your hand? You already look stupid enough.
Yeah,
that hurting?
No matter what, prepare the play, right?
Mm-hmm.
The manager is in control, apparently, or coach or whatever he is. He's the person with the say to players. If I was him, I'd bench that keeper for the rest of his year, if not the rest of his tenure. It may only be a week, like, but he needs to show or demand some sort of authority, first of all. And then, like, the likes of Zola should have backed him.
Definitely. That backroom staff had
no backbone.
Cojones.
The backroom staff had no backs?
No.
Backbones, whatever?
No, nothing. No fronts, no backs, no sides. They were just
there
as guilty.
So many people in the wrong, and then you had Sarri pretending to leave, thinking somebody was going to stop him. And then he's like, nobody stopped me, what am I going to do now? Mm. I may go back. And then at the end of the press conference, talking about condoms.
Madness.
Trying to make light of a situation where he clearly lost control. He's lost the dressing room. I can understand that.
Well, he lost the dressing room the time he came out and told him at the all that passion and in a roundabout way he said they were all useless and there's no spine. But with Chelsea getting that ban that they can't sign any players in the next two transfer windows, who's going to want that job?
Yeah, who do you take? Well, I've seen Zidane linked with it again, saying that he doesn't care. Apparently,
who doesn't care, Zidane? Or
Zidane
sorry,
doesn't care if he isn't allowed to sign anybody. Lies, like if you lose Hazard, because they're still allowed to sell players.
Yeah.
If you lose Hazard, did you see his penalty?
Mm-hmm. Just down the middle.
But he's a player. He was clearly playing for himself yesterday too. He didn't get involved. Somebody that used to be a leader of that club. He wasn't telling Kepa to.
No.
Nose rolling, shut his mouth.
But do you know what I would do if I was one of them youth players? I'd be watching that going, do you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to brown nose this guy as much as I can. Or the next manager that comes in and put myself in the shop window and get sold at a bigger club.
How do you feel if you're your man Cavallaro? The sub goalkeeper who was killed out to come on? And
he's in an awkward spot. He didn't do anything wrong. And again, he can't enter the field.
The only person that was wrong was Kepa.
Yeah.
Like the referee, there's actually a law, or a rule, maybe not a law, a rule already written in the Premier League bylaws or whatever that says that the referee can't enforce a substitution.
Can he not?
No, it's against only the manager can do it. Let's see, I'll take the
right
up for you,
just so I can read it out. So if he says to the fourth official, put up number 1 off and number 13 on.
I'm not going to find this for you.
But surely the referee, or the fourth official, fires that up, he has to come off. I know, like I've said, that the players, no one can enter the field to play, but I don't know. I think, my opinion, right, I think Kepa done the right thing, but he maybe went about it the wrong way. But I don't think there's any right way to go about it, because either way he looks weak.
Sorry, here it is. Law 3 says a manager has to inform the player he is going off to be substituted. The player comes off, but if he refuses, it is the manager's problem and not the referee. The referee can't really get involved to force him off.
So then, how does the manager...
If he's not allowed on the pitch, how does the manager enforce it?
Mm-hmm. But you know what I would do?
Should have
battled him. Threw a ball at a Gazette and battled a Gatorade. Well, then the only other option there then is to stand with the other goalkeeper and get the fourth official to hold the sign up. And if he doesn't come off, book him for time wasting.
Yeah, so what if the referee sent the player off in that game or went over and sent them off, right?
Mm-hmm.
For dissent or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And can he refuse to go off?
You have to go off. If you're sent off, you can't play. The match will not go until you're off the pitch. So even in that situation, I know it's heat of the moment,
so mad,
and you aren't thinking about it, but if you let him intentionally get booked, right, there's one yellow card. If he still doesn't come off the pitch, he gets another yellow card, right? You're then forced to take one of your outfield players off.
For the keeper
to go in.
There's a solution.
It's not
right, but
then you take somebody, I don't know.
But then if you're a manager of a club and you're about to lose a player, before you go to a penalty shootout, you probably go, fuck it, just leave them all.
Maybe.
Beep.
So you think Kappa was in the wrong?
100%. To me, it was dissent for his teammates, dissent for the manager, dissent against the club. You know what, that's not a team player. That's not, in a team sport, that is not a team player. And you gotta look after your team players.
Right.
I think that club is going to have a huge mountain over the next 2 years.
I can see Abramovich pulling out of it.
I would say he's tried to or something. Can't there? There's something magical on the background there too.
Can't go back there. I should.
I think Chelsea's glory days are 3 years away. What's your reading there?
Rory McIlroy.
Oh.
Not being a team player.
Team player for who?
Rory McIlroy voted Brexit, by the way. He associates with British, being British, which is understandable.
What's that then?
Well, you get
Kevin.
You get inundated with that much British media and stuff that you can understand why they're the British pulling out of the Irish Open.
No, it's Randy Murray's Scotties until he wins something.
Hmm.
Alright.
But you know the reason why he's pulling out?
I'm
not one for pulling out, as you know, so I wouldn't know much about this matter.
So McIlroy is not playing the Irish Open
up in Portrush
because he wants to focus on the Open Championship. Basically his reason is he doesn't want to waste his energy.
Right, so what he's saying there is a cognitive dissonance, because you don't get better at something by not doing it, but you don't get better at something by not practicing. Even just go out and...
That's right, that's what the... You can go to the range, hit a few balls and...
It's not the same. It's like boxing. Everyone's amazing on a punch back because it doesn't punch back. And then you get into the real life scenario. You've got the pressure, you've got the lights, you've got something in front of you, you've all the added pressures. And...
Well, he said, if there's ever a year when I feel I can miss the Irish Open, it's this year. If he was to play the Irish Open, the Open Championship would be his third event in a row, and for him it was too much. And the best way that he could prepare for what is the biggest event of his life is to not play in that one. He says he loves the Irish Open, he's supported it his whole career.
Mm-hmm.
And
he has.
But this is the time he's taking it off, so... there's not much really to it, it's just he's decided not to play it, he's going to do his warm-up and... Scottish Open or something.
Right.
It's the one before. So he's going to play in that, then take a wee break and then give it a
try and win the Clare Jug.
Try and win that. It's, to a degree, it's fair enough. I can understand it. But at the same time, it's his home. You know?
Mm.
So maybe from the patriotic point of view, people won't understand. People who love where they're from.
Well, I've cancelled my tickets anyway.
Refunds?
Only because I've no staff to go and match it, but big subject that we missed. Big controversial one. Liam Neeson.
Big Liam.
Hey, you're a racist now, father. Is Liam Neeson a racist?
Maybe 20, 30 years ago, whenever it happened. But I mean, no, I
don't think so.
I think it's been blown out of proportion a wee bit.
Mm.
I can understand that the things he did were wrong then, but he doesn't do them now.
Yeah.
You know, he's not a practicing racist.
No. And it was a moment of madness. And I know he said he roamed the streets for a few days, but if something bad happened to your family, you wouldn't be thinking clearly. That's why one of the best pieces of advice, I think you actually, we asked the question one of the early episodes, if you give one piece of advice to the world, what would it be? I said, always let a calmer head prevail. And obviously he's been that enraged and angry. He hasn't had a calmer head prevail. And then
the quote was, change is the only constant in life.
Change is the only constant in life. He has clearly got a bit of clarity into him. And he's went, no, this is wrong.
Yeah, I mean, he's done films and stuff. He clearly doesn't have a problem with black people.
No. Words are hard.
Words aren't hard today.
Whoopi Goldberg came out and said that she's worked with loads of people. Says she's been around loads of racist people. And says, Liam Neeson is not a racist person.
Yeah, he just had a bad taste in his mouth one time in his life.
Mm.
And for some reason decided to tell a reporter about it. And
mm.
That was the biggest mistake, was just where he said it and how it was portrayed.
I think no matter where you say it, whenever it gets out,
he probably told Whoopi and she didn't care.
He could have, but as well, you look at all the good he's done. Like, he's a UNICEF ambassador and stuff, and he's done so much charity work. And he's
like, without him, you wouldn't have them great quotes.
No, you wouldn't.
It's annoying, so.
Now, somebody who did fuck up. Right?
Go ahead.
Shamia Begum. There's having a moment of madness, and then there's being a numpty. Do you use a Belfast colloquialism?
I mean, I don't even know what way to discuss this topic, because
the arrogance of her.
Yeah.
Feel sorry for me,
but you know what, the Manchester bomb was great, and my two kids have died here though, you know, in ISIS, and I've been in ISIS just enjoying the death of the West.
Like, I didn't know what I was getting into. There's, like, do you remember whenever you were a kid and you made a firework through someone's letterbox? Or you made it, like, threw stones at people's windows and ran away? That type of stuff is something that you do when you're 15. Or else you get caught getting fingered in the back alley by somebody you shouldn't. Right?
You were getting fingered by somebody in the back alley.
But
I'm not fair at that out. That PG you thought.
But
are we PC?
Doing stuff like that,
it's 15,
is what you do when you're 15. You don't leave the country and go and support a terrorist organisation.
No, definitely not. You can't, and then expect to be welcomed back to the country.
Mm.
That's the sick part. She wants to come back for the NHS and the better living that she left behind.
Mm.
You know, she already chose not to have it.
Mm.
It should be. I don't think she should be allowed back at all. I was about to say it should be like somebody's choice, but nah, she shouldn't even be allowed back. She should have been denounced, or if she does come back, she goes straight into jail or something.
Well, they revoked her British citizenship.
She's getting a solicitor to sort that out. Apparently there's like some law that they can't.
But surely they would try and do her for treason or betrayal to the government. They'll find a way around it.
Hopefully, because people like that do not deserve to be well off or enjoying the NHS. I mean, I'm a taxpayer, you're a taxpayer. That's not somebody you want mooching off the government.
No, definitely not.
You know what I mean? For their kids to grow up and then potentially kill other people. I don't know, maybe I'm being a wee bit lame these days and just brand them all with the one brush.
I think you're going too far one way, but I wouldn't let her back in.
No. Why would you? Do you let her kids back in without her, if that's her real concern? let them be raised in foster care.
You do, but you don't let them go to her parents because clearly they didn't do a very good job. You would have to take them somewhere completely different, other end of the country. Take them to Scotland or out of... Where was she from, London?
Sounds a little dead up.
Finger and sheep. Right. Speaking of kids getting up to bad stuff.
Right, I was going to ask you, but that's all right. No, go ahead.
Go, you asked me.
I was going to ask you about Derek girls.
Fellas, if you're struggling what to get your other half as a gift, why not try Nail and Lash Envy by Karen? You've got acrylic nails with gel starting £25, infills £20, gel polish starting at £15 and feet starting at £10. You've also got dermaplaning, £30, and classic lashes starting at £30. You may not know what it is, she'll know what it is, she will definitely appreciate it. Search her Nail and Lash Envy on Facebook. Tell them the Bimbo podcast sent you.
Derry Girls, that's because we're talking about other places and stuff. It's coming back soon. Mm-hmm. Did you watch the first season?
Yes.
For those that will have video, you'll be able to see exactly what he did. But it's worth a watch, like.
So I hear. I don't hear anybody say anything bad about it.
It's not. What did you call that? It's not pretty moves.
Mm.
Not that much comedy. There's comedy in it. It's, you'll only find it funny if you're from here.
Right.
It shouldn't really go beyond that. I can't see it really going beyond that. I mean, they want to obviously bring in storylines like last year. I think was the final episode, spoiler alert, was like something to do with the Uma Bowman or. That's what they were alluding to anyway, but I think they'll bring things in like that just to grasp a bigger audience, but it probably doesn't really go across.
You can't really understand Rapsy Nesbitt, but it translates. Do you watch Rapsy Nesbitt?
Love Rapsy.
Do you know what I always remember? The wee kid sticking the chips in his ear.
I used to watch it all the time with my granddad too. He loved it.
Mm. Fantastic.
But apparently there's a new Tato advert in the first episode of Derry Girls during the break. There's a Tato advert.
Southern Tato or Northern Tato?
Northern Tato. The reason I know is because my barber's son's in the advert, so I just thought I'd give him a wee mention. Derry Girls, 5th of March, Channel 4.
Channel 4.
Second season, 4th, 3rd
of them. Yeah. If any of the girls want to come on and promote the show, hit me up. Bimbo Pod.
I hope you've asked the big girl for clearance.
That's my house. I put my foot down.
Such a liar.
Why will I not? Didn't have three fellas in here. Didn't even ask her. Right. You like gaming.
I do.
Have you...
Be Paddy Boyle, I told you already.
Well, this could be something that Paddy Boyle's conjured up to try and beat people. Momo Challenge. Have you heard of it?
You know what? I didn't hear of it until today, of all things.
Right. Well, let me set it up for you. Right. Do you remember whenever like you were on AOL dial-up internet?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. And you used to get like chainmail. This little girl down a well.
Do you remember chainmail?
So you used to get that, and you used to be like, take you 20 minutes to read it, and if you don't do it, everybody in your family is going to die.
I'm gonna lose a toe.
You're gonna lose a toe.
Yeah.
It's basically a modern version of that.
Right. Okay.
Right. So, people are getting up in arms. People need to calm down or to do what the...
Have you researched this before you say people need to calm down?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, so, and I had a good conversation with
you. I haven't researched it. I'm only going on a hearsay and what I've been told, but go ahead.
Right, so, basically what happens, I can understand where it's quite scary, but this isn't much different than the chain mail emails you used to get, like, the scary pictures and things like that. So I'll show you the photo of the image of the thing that comes up on your phone.
Yeah.
Right? So it looks like a girl from Poglas,
you know what,
the night after with her makeup off, who's severely dehydrated.
I was gonna say, I see that we girl like, yeah.
So,
and for somebody that doesn't know what people from Poglas look like after a night out of the weekend.
Severely dehydrated.
Like, they ever seen The Nightmare Before Christmas?
It's like that and the Grudge girl. Sort of combined.
Yeah.
Right. So basically what she does, she pops up on your screen, right? So the way it's described here by the Popo, the menacing looking Momo character lurks behind apparently innocent looking games in the hope that while a parent's attention is distracted, it appears and challenges or dares the gamer to grotesque acts of self-harm. Okay?
Okay.
So, one way around this, if you have kids, have kids YouTube. Because that's blocked. Okay?
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Never knew that. Two. YouTube for kids, never even knew that.
Two. Stop sending your kids in front of YouTube and take them outside or get them toys and play with toys like you used to do. Okay? Where it gets tricky, and this is the hard part, right? It'll invite you on to WhatsApp, okay? And they'll text.
Right.
Okay? So this is the hard part. So
who's the Illuminati?
The Nightmare Before Poglass woman. So what they do, it comes on loads of different things, which is quite hard to capture, right? Because it's like games and things, like your PlayStation. But if they message the kids on WhatsApp, right? One, take your kid's phone, check it every day. Whenever I give Aiden a phone, I'll probably do that. Until he's a reasonable
age. If they're a kid, you're allowed to do that. Don't even question it, just do it.
Update by 12 or 13 and then.
Yeah, and then you start saying stuff you shouldn't say.
Yeah, it's just stuff everybody does. But this Momo thing, what it's doing is basically saying, texting them, telling them, if you don't, it finds out information, so it'll talk to the kid, find out information, and then it'll say, if you don't beat up Shannon, then I'm going to stand the bottom of your bed. So subconsciously, that's going to be in the child's head. They might get panicked and afraid, and they might start imagining things. And then if that happens, they'll say, if you don't cut yourself, I'm going to kill your sister, I'm going to kill your mum, if you don't do this, do that. And it's led a couple of kids killing themselves, which is the scary part. But if you're, in my opinion, right, and you know me, because I sort of try and approach things with a practical mind and just no nonsense, if you're monitoring your kid's stuff, you shouldn't have to worry about it. Sit them down and show them what it is and say, this is what it is. See, if you see this, you tell mommy or daddy straight away. Would you not agree with me? Or do you think?
Well, I'm going to look at it from a different perspective from what I was told today. So the first thing he said was they're targeting gamers,
yeah.
Right? So gamers are, number one, the biggest games in the world right now are like Fortnite,
mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Correct.
Which is a solo individual game that you play online with your friends. So technically you're antisocial because
mm-hmm.
your friends can't be in the same room as you to play the game. They have to be in their own houses, so everybody's separated. The second thing is kids spend hours and hours playing Fortnite.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't monitor their kids while they're playing it, because they throw tantrums or they bought to buy skins and they want to waste money or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of parents tend to avoid it, and this is just the typical life of a child gamer, right?
Yeah.
So for me, those kids will then watch videos and stuff on YouTube to see how to do things better, you know. So, and then apparently there's paid adverts to bring up this.
Yes.
So apparently in this game, and then one of the first things to tell you is you're not allowed to tell your parents.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody who's antisocial is already not speaking to their parents because they don't, their parents are afraid of spending maybe 30, 40 quid on a virtual skin. So them conversations aren't happening, the ones that you suggest should happen, which they should.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think the kid's ever going to almost approach or bring the subject up that anything like this is happening to them. So without somebody actually overseeing it or supervising it, I don't think it's going to get picked up as easily. So apparently in the game they're told to keep it a secret, and then they're given 50 challenges, so it's day by day.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last one apparently ends with you stabbing somebody or stabbing yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of kids are impressionable enough that, I mean, have you seen them? I'm sure you've seen all the Fortnite dances.
Yeah
I mean, that's copying from a game. They will copy things, they will do things that they're told to do.
You need to limit the amount of time kids have on stuff. Like Aiden gets limited to what he's on, and he only really gets his PlayStation on a Sunday. Like during the week he won't get his PlayStation, and most of the time either me or Sinead's in the room when he's doing it. So I think you need to say to
I get that, and I respect that is a decision, and by no means would I be raising my kids telling them just sit on your game 24/7, do what you want, because at the end of the day you're a parent and you should always know what they're doing or have a bit of control over them. But in this day and age, a lot of kids are just playing Fortnite and that's all they want to do. They'll scream, they'll shout, they'll throw hissy fits, whatever it takes to get on their game, and some parents just give in. You know, so for those people it's a lot harder to, I mean, if you're a single parent and you don't have that willpower to demand the authority or respect, you know, if you end up like sorry and can't play a game, what do you do?
It's like anything. After a week, kids will be in a routine of something.
I mean, I actually tried to find a way to download this earlier whenever I was being told about it, just to see what it was like, because I know I'm not impressionable. You know, but I couldn't find it. I didn't have it downloaded. Can you get me on then?
No.
Can we go and play in this place, isn't
it? Maybe get him up a few levels. Fair enough point. Maybe I'm just a great parent. And again, great there, Brian.
I mean, maybe we'll get Aidan on the show and he can tell us how great you are.
Yeah. Actually, you heard great AML was coming first.
You get a loan review and then you spoil it with that.
Right.
Okay, speak. I think it's a, before you finish off, I just think it's a tough situation thing. I think that I can't believe there's people who create this type of shit to begin with.
But back to my original point, it comes down to we dealt with it in our era. And you were like, okay, ignore it, block it. You know, it's the same every year. You get WhatsApp messages, oh, such and such phones, but you're going to start.
Do you know what I
hate?
Did you see that WhatsApp message? Yeah, they're going to get charged for WhatsApp. See, when somebody sends that, you're like,
this is how I feel with that.
I understand. It's just when kids are involved, it's kids are.
I was young. I was a prepubescent person when AOL was out.
But it's where we're from. I genuinely believe that. I believe that there's people that are raised a certain way that you don't give into this shit.
Yeah.
And then there's people that are susceptible to this. I just know what it's like to be a gamer, but I've never been an impressionable gamer, so.
Yeah.
I've never beat up somebody at table and seen it in a game. Or watched wrestling on TV and went, you know what, don't try this at home, I'll try it and break somebody's neck.
The one, you remember wee BBP, remember the wee boy in the blue jumper with the blue eyes and the blonde hair, and he was horrifically beaten and tortured. But wee BBP, you, I think his name ended up, was it Peter? Yeah, baby Peter.
So this is the one who had the mum who was neglecting him, and then the stepdad.
Yeah.
And his brother or something like that?
Yeah,
yeah. Okay, yeah.
So one of them is out. One, he was done for.
One of them's out?
Yeah, 2 years, you know, for assisting in the torture and murder of a little 2-year-old boy.
So he done. How many months did he do? Was that 2 years ago?
That was
must be
done.
Like 18 or 19 months. You probably get less than what the child age was.
Yeah, the child was 17. No, the child was 17 months.
Right.
Not even a year and a half. He done just under 2 years.
So he done like the child's age essentially in time served.
Correct.
That's a disgrace.
Yeah. And do you know what he has the cheek to have? A tattoo on his arm saying, only God can judge me.
Wow.
Wow. Oh wow.
Do you remember that yard we were talking about earlier that shouldn't be allowed back in the country?
Yeah.
Yeah, it kind of falls into the same category.
Mm-hmm.
These people, this is a wild podcast. There's a lot of topics on this that are
a bit darker than normal.
Yeah. That one actually, I don't know. I'm sure you can tell probably a wee bit from the last thing. When it comes to kids, it's kind of out of bounds. As in, when they're below a certain age group, you can't really fucking.
Yeah, there's boundaries.
Yeah, that's the word I was looking for. There's boundaries, and people that think that it's okay to get away with this type of stuff is
sometimes vigilante justice seems like the right way to go, doesn't it?
Well, if you get this in 2 years, do you think that's justice served?
Definitely not.
You know, how long do you get? You know what? There's, I don't think there is too long.
Well, he's helped aided and abetted in the child losing his life. So,
I mean, that's an innocent child that done.
No, couldn't
have done anything.
Couldn't. All a child does at that age is want your love and affection and attention.
Instead, he had whatever he got. And
over 50 injuries.
It's a disgrace, man. It's a disgrace that he's out. And he's probably under some sort of protective order or some sort of housing or something.
Yeah.
You know, so it's now costing us money again. You know, has he learned his lesson 18 months down 2 years, whatever he's been in?
Dead up. Speaking of disgraceful things, have you heard of the term social influencer?
Great there's plenty of them that claim to be anyway.
A social influencer is somebody who has a lot of followers on social media and gets lots of likes and interactions with their posts.
Yeah, so they can promote a product for people or brands or.
So, say you're wee Jenny from the block.
Worked out well for the Fire Festival, but have you picked up on it yet, though?
I haven't watched it all. I know what your fellow was going to do.
That's how he got social influencers to promote it, but we'll come back to that anyway. We'll talk about that in another episode.
So, a social influencer, you just get lots of interaction and you can promote stuff, right? Depending on how many followers you have. Like, you aren't famous for doing anything, but if you're in the hundreds of thousands, millions, then you're going to pay a lot of money. Or you've got wee Jenny from the block, who's got a fat hole because she has implants and her lips done and her daddy's done. And everybody just likes her Instagram posts because she's putting up pictures of her and her thong or on her holiday. One, if you think that you are important because you get lots of likes,
you tell Sinead that for those research.
If you think that you are important because someone likes a picture of your hoop or your lips or your teeth, you need to catch a grip of yourself and stop basing your this is what's wrong with society. People look at people like that and think, I need to be like that.
So you see, in, let's say, our day, I mean, like when we were actually growing up, our social influencers were probably celebrities. That's probably what's now seen as they were, can literally be anybody.
Mm-hmm.
As long as they have, like you say,
someone sitting in the garage with a set of earphones and laptop and a set of microphones.
We have an audience range of, you know, 500 people, and
you know, and like, we don't go out of our way to try and like
manipulate
or like create smoke and mirrors. I think one thing that we are very good at, we're just very brutally honest.
Sometimes
too honest.
For this podcast, wow.
ASOS, right? So what these social influencers are doing, right? Remember I said, basically take a photo with a full length mirror that they've got from B&M Bargains, and we pair of short shorts, they're putting them on, doing the photo, getting all the likes, and then send it back. So ASOS, it's an online shopping company, you can't go into shops in Britain.
The trick that could sell them clothes after they've been worn,
probably could. They are returning the items, so they're basically getting these clothes and returning them. So ASOS are like, nah mate, you're not getting refunds, you're not.
That's the selling policy, man. Only in orders, return whatever you want within 14 days.
I don't know, I think it's good. I think they should ban them.
Oh no, here, 100%. If you're a company, you don't want that. Unless you're the company that's actually paying them to do it.
Yeah.
You know.
But that's different. No, but see, but then in that case, you'd be given stuff. You wouldn't order it and then.
Yeah, like that clothing brand that you'd sent me recently, their stuff was class, but they're only sending it to people that they want to be seen more.
Yeah.
You know.
True. But yeah, if you think of yourself as a social influencer, catch a grip of yourself and give yourself a good hard shake. Stop laughing. You know what I mean?
So
speaking of people taking stuff that's not theirs, the Catholic Church in Dublin now has contactless payments.
What?
Contactless payments.
Hang on, the Apple Pay in the church?
You can is it on Apple Pay? I would imagine so. If it's contactless,
yeah, I would just assume so.
If money is the root of all evil, why does the church ask for it?
Brilliant.
You like that, do you?
You know what? As two people who, you wouldn't see us in church every week, certainly not. I remember some people wanting to avoid the basket coming around.
Mm.
What was that? Oh, there it is.
Fan.
God, that was payments in the church.
That's
why. You got to move in the Thames to take the money out of. Do you remember, like, back in the. I think they've probably done it because there's been a decrease in donations. People don't carry cash. But, like, true story, my family somebody in my family was in Egypt at some point in time, where we had a lot of land in Ireland. And it was left in the will to the church.
Sure is.
Yeah, like, that's hurtful.
Yeah.
Sitting here now, that's hurtful.
Mm. So the reason they're doing it, right, is that a claim in footfall.
In footfall. It's a shop, it's a retail shop.
1981, more than 90% of the population described themselves as Catholics in a national census. This is in Southern Ireland. Most recent census carried out in 2016 showed that it's fallen to 78%.
That's because we haven't built the wall yet.
Yeah, so they've went. It's not just demographics which have been affected by church finances. Fewer people are carrying cash these days, meaning they're less likely to have the money. Dublin parishioners already use standard orders for donations, known as a family offering, which are traditionally collected.
I remember using the envelopes on the door.
That's what it's in there, and it's replacing the envelopes. The new technology will be introduced alongside the collection plate, which will remain, but.
But it'll have a contactless feature. Swipe here.
I don't know. Like,
you know what's next? Strip clubs are getting
it. Think so?
If they don't swipe it down a
butt chicken. That's for cashback. That's madness. Contactless payments.
But it is a moving with the times, and if they're not getting the money. I mean, people are going to give to the church no matter what, I think. In some circumstances, this is to get rid of the people who go, no change or can't donate. That's to get these people.
But it's set up at the back of the church, and then you go up and you do it. Like someone's walking around with
a. But you know what people are like? They'll be staring to see if you put money in the basket or if you went to the back of the church.
True. So but I think as well, because more and more people are now turning away from religion, and they're either agnostic or atheist.
Except if you're on Facebook, it's the best meme about.
What's this one? Is it the one where Jesus checking if the go ahead.
Jesus checking if the Facebook photo has enough likes to save the sick
child. Mark Watson, I love that one. Did you really? But mad.
I think that's just the world we live in now. Social influencers, chip and pen or whatever, contactless at the back of a church. People getting freed because they're not getting long enough sentences. People being allowed to go and bomb countries and then come back to the same country. You know, and players now deciding if they're substituted or not.
Oh my god, I'm just flicking through something here. dare you.
Elaborate.
My god.
I'll keep us in suspense.
You need to see the photo of it first. So it's a granda who, what age is he? 90-year-old Bobby. He must have a stomach of iron as he was unfazed. He had half a bucket of paint thinking it was ice cream. Look at his lips. Oh my goodness. It doesn't even, he thought it was yogurt, was it? Yogurt.
Looks like yop.
Madness. But coming up this weekend, the start of Footloose.
Yeah, kicks off on Wednesday. I'm going to the show on Thursday, and our competition winner's going on Friday.
Claudia Johnson, congratulations, Claudia, from the podcast Keeps On Giving.
So I'm looking forward to that. Got a busy week, man. I've got Wednesday. I've got a confirmation. So good to go to church. Woohoo! Contactless payments.
Only in Dublin.
Only in Dublin.
And not be long till it's up here.
Praise Jeepus. Then we've got Thursday, I've got the Footloose. Friday, I've got Neil Delamere. And then I'm at the Game concert at some point. And Home the Wall Gang live up in Lisburn, I think.
When's the Home the Wall Gang? Saturday?
Tuesday.
Next Tuesday?
Yeah.
Very good. I have David Mead on Saturday. Cannot wait.
Well, you want David Mead this weekend? Class.
Yeah, apart from that, anything else you want to go off your chest? Hopes, goals, dreams, aspirations?
No, I think I'm pretty good. I enjoyed just being the two of us again for a wee minute.
Yeah.
You know, it's been a while. Thanks to all the guests that have come on. The Mongrels, David Mead.
Tommy.
Jordan. Now all the previous ones too, Brenton and all too.
Brenton, Paul. Devo Shutley.
They featured, didn't they? So what have we got? I don't mean we haven't even planned this out, but do we have any topics come up? I want to do like my top five versus your top five hip hop albums or something. Or
do that. Oh, do you know what I meant to tell people? Right, loving it at the minute, but don't eat your dinner and watch it like I do every single evening and think to myself, why did I do this? Hannibal on Netflix. It's from 2013. Amazing. So it's basically the prequel to like the Silence of the Lambs, and it just builds up how Hannibal.
Well,
I'm only into season two, but I've been told it gets very weird.
Hopefully it doesn't finish after season two, because
there's three seasons.
Thank God for that, because your missus put me on to a great show, Punisher. But well, say great, a him and ha about it. But I'm about to finish the second season, and they've just announced there's no third season.
Yeah, I'm happy about that. I was starting to get drawn out, and
that's what I say. When I say great, there's parts where there's too much dialogue.
Mm.
You know, you could have cut it in half, like.
Or is him just like, do you ever see the part where they're having a big shootout in the street and he's running and he's grunting?
Yeah.
Sounds like me eating my lunch.
yeah,
it's the second season.
Yeah. I've enjoyed the action sequences and stuff, and I actually enjoy the story, but the dialogue's a wee bit.
It's a wee bit far fetched. It's
a Marvel thing.
Yeah.
You know.
But for someone who doesn't have a superpower, he takes a hell of a lot of beatings.
Just a bit. Anything else coming up for you?
No, David Mead. Need to employ two or three people from work. And
have you ever thought about putting an advert on a podcast?
No.
It reaches a good audience, like.
Does it?
Can do, and it's relatively cheap.
Cost effective. Thanks for listening, and remember, leave us a 5-star rating.
Yeah, sorry. Before we're getting a new webpage. We're getting our own domain.
And we're on Spotify now.
And we're on Spotify. And we're getting our own app. And oh my God, the podcast that keeps on growing.
Jared, I said start of the year, someone ring Joe Rogan. Tell him we're coming in a hat.
We're coming, Joe. Anyway, I've had enough of your shit.
It's not very Christmassy.
Yeah, but
bye.
Everybody, for tuning in. If you can subscribe, rate, and review the podcast on iTunes, we greatly appreciate it. Every little helps and all that.